This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Heart of Granite, written by James Barclay, performed by Joe Jameson. Chapter 1. I don't remember getting the tap on the shoulder at school, or the walk to the principal's office alongside the recruitment agents in their ERC uniforms. But I do remember the dripping jealousy on the faces of everyone I passed, and I will never forget how cool that was. Maximus Halloran. Max was woken by an insistent nagging at the back of his mind. It probably wasn't important. He let his head drop back to the pillow and stared at the ceiling, where the dim ridge lights flickered in time with the whir of the increasingly inefficient air circulation system. Outside his pod, the squad rack was quiet. No one else was even awake, let alone up.
"Not like me to wake up early," muttered Max.
"Don't you read your pings?"
Annabeth was lying on her stomach with her head turned away and a sheet clinging to the lines of her body. Max drew a finger down her spine, and she rose on her elbows, her long black hair falling either side of her face. He grinned, sliding down next to her and leaning in for a kiss.
"Not if I can avoid it."
"Are you kidding me?"
Annabeth put a hand on his face and pushed him away.
"You were at the briefing last night, right? I wondered why you were still here."
"Because..."
"You know, the amount of shit you're in makes you completely undesirable right now," she said, with a twinkle in her eye.
"Oh, really?"
he said, and began to push the sheet down, his fingertips tracing her silky skin.
"Really?"
Annabeth slid a little closer to him, enjoying herself. Her hand cupped his balls.
"You really don't know why you're in the shit?"
"Don't know, don't care."
"You're not bothered about skippering the escort for the Marshal General's cortege, then?"
Max froze, colour draining from his face.
"That's tomorrow," he said, stomach lurching.
"Uh-uh. Today."
She leaned into his ear and whispered,
"Right now."
"Shit!" said Max, scrambling out of bed. "Shit, shit, shit! Why didn't they wake me? What happened to..."
His sweat struck him in the face. He grabbed for them, missed, stumbled against the door and trod on the corner of a belt buckle.
"Ow, bloody fuck bollocks! Thanks a lot."
"Anytime,"
said Annabeth, following up with some well-aimed boots. Max pulled his joggers on and jammed his feet into his boots. He gave Annabeth a lopsided smile.
"Be here when I get back."
"In your dreams, Drake bitch."
Annabeth's delicate blown kiss chased him from the room. He paused in the act of sprinting past the squad rack to take in the absurdly neat arrangement of sofas, chairs, screens and consoles. Every coffee and teacup had been washed, dried and stacked by the gleamingly clean beverage machines, to which a note was attached. Max ran over and read it. "Did your chores for you. We heard it was a late one last night and didn't want to wake you. Set the alarm to give you just enough time to get to the most important flight of your so far worthless life. But only just. Love, Inferno X."
"Very bloody funny, bastards."
An alarm began to sound, and he glanced up at the mission countdown timer. Lots of red numbers there.
Shit.
Max burst out of the squad dorm and powered along the spine, dodging from side to side to evade the masses dawdling to wherever it was they had loads of time to get. He sprinted through the echoing 10 ways spine-link space that would become Gargan's bar later, wrinkling his nose at the stale smells of alcohol and sweat that clung to every surface. He hurdled an autovac and raced off to the right, down an access corridor, battering open the emergency access-only door at the end. It stank of burnt toast out here, within the flank armour. Water poured down the inside, catching a joint above his head and covering the ringing metal stairway, and him, in its fetid warmth. Max grabbed the rail and swung over, letting go and turning in the air before catching the rails a story below. He pushed himself back with his feet and dropped again, grabbing the base of the rail and swinging to land on his feet on the walkway.
Nailed it,
he grinned, and ran. Outside the open door to the vast, retractable flight deck, he could hear the competing cries and roars of drakes, geckos, chameleons, basilisks, and komodos. Once inside, he slowed to a saunter and fought to control his breathing. He had to walk past the cages holding the ground-based lizards on the weight of a drake pens, so he made sure he caught the eye of a jockey. He sniffed extravagantly.
Wow! That's some powerful stench you're developing. New aftershave, is it? Oh, the slime sucker. For the face-down, sand-eating lizard jock in your life.
Drop dead, dragon shagger. A gecko driver made a move towards him. Hey, let's compare IQs in a year's time, slophead. Max blew a kiss and walked away.
I'm going to look for you out there today. Gonna need a target for my drake to shit on.
The drakes were calling, the sound echoing from the walls, drowning out the flight comm orders coming over the PA. The beautiful white Inferno X drakes were already moving onto the runway. Max broke into a run again, aching to be with them.
Halloran!
30 meters of drake moved serenely out of its pen and blocked his way.
For about the millionth time, Max wondered why they didn't just call them dragons, because that was sure as shit what they looked like.
The drake's eyes were on him, and so were those of its pilot, Squadron Leader Valera Orin, going through her pre-flight routine. The drake's mouth yawned to reveal its rows of bone-crushing teeth. Its 5-meter neck flexed, the scales meshing and moving in a sinuous dance. Along its broad back, bone spurs rotated out to defensive position and then back flush to the armoured scales. And the tail, fully 6 meters long and run with thorns, whipped up into the scorpion position, its needle-sharp tip glistening.
Skipper? What time do you call this?
Why didn't anyone wake me? Too busy tidying up really quietly and leaving sarcastic notes?
That was Stepanek's idea. Good one, eh? It's almost a shame you've just squeaked in this time. But you better run, and you better learn to take responsibility. There's 2 minutes on the countdown. Then I'm giving Stepanek the escort lead on a cap, just to piss you off.
You'd give it to Stepanek?
The drake's wings twitched in a shrug.
Clock's ticking. Grim's got your suit already.
Max ran down the line of drake pens, hearing catcalls and jibes all the way. He played up to it as he went, even taking a bow as he slid to a halt by his pen, and Grimaldi, his flight tech.
It's call sign, dickhead. Hardly worth almost getting dressed, was it?
Very funny, Grim.
Max stripped off his joggers. Grimaldi glowered at him with her trademark disdain and held out his suit, her hands filthy with drake dirt, her face in yellow overalls freckled with soot and dust. Every time he forced his body into the rubberized bioplastic body sheath, he wished there was a way to link with his drake without the clumsy mass of neuroorganic receptors. The suit squeezed his body like a too-tight wetsuit and itched like a bastard until it warmed up and expanded a fraction. He dragged it up his legs, over his torso and chest, and forced his arms into the sleeves. Grimaldi zipped it up as he hauled the hood over his head and felt the tightness around the sides of his face and the back of his skull. He pushed gently at his throat with forefinger and thumb, positioning the comm controls to pick up his sub-vocalized commands. Moments later, he felt the warmth he longed for through his body and mind.
"There you are, gorgeous," he said. "Ready to play?"
Taloned feet slammed against the drake pen, and an armored head reared up. Hawk-keen reptilian eyes stared through the broad window at him, and the drake's mouth opened in what Max maintained was a smile. A hideously toothy smile, but a smile nonetheless, despite the tweaker's denials that drakes experienced emotion.
"How's she doing?"
asked Max, reaching to slap the warm glass by the drake's muzzle. The creature shook her head, and spittle flew in all directions.
"Good to see you too, Martha."
"One day," said
Grimaldi,
"I will beat out of you why you gave her that name. Anyway, she's peak, of course. Take a look."
Grimaldi unlatched the pen door and slid it back. A wash of warm air rushed out of the enclosure, which was lit with hot lamps and backed by infrared heat and light. Max's smile broadened, and the warmth in his mind and body intensified. Max held up a hand, and Martha dipped her head so he could run his fingers over her fangs and the 8 fuel ducts pulsating at the sides of her mouth. They were full and healthy, the openings pink and clear. There was a rustling sensation in Max's left ear.
"This is Heart of Granite Flight Commander Muller. Call sign HAL X. Confirm reception."
"Loud and clear, sir. Good to hear you."
"Nice of you to join us. Slime up, sky high in 60 seconds.
"Copy, sir."
"Right. Close your eyes,"
said Grimaldi. She was holding a thin hose pipe. Barely waiting for him to comply, she pulled the trigger. A fine spray misted out, smelling of oil and sweat. Max held his arms out and turned slowly, letting the liquid settle on every stitch of his suit.
"All done. Should stop you getting stuck halfway in."
"Always the same joke," said Max.
"Gets funnier each time I tell it."
"In your flawed opinion."
Max cocked his head, then turned to the faulty fan that wobbled in its brackets up in the roof structure, venting condensation inefficiently.
"Can you get on to those lazy arses in maintenance? That thing will fall on Martha's head one day. Tell them when it does, I'll point them out to her."
"Sure thing, Max," said Grim.
Max raised his hands in front of Martha, and the stunning white drake rose up to sit on her powerful hind legs. The front of her chest opened to reveal the receptor pouch within. The lubricant on Max's suit would mix with the pouch's secretions to ensure maximum connectivity. Max climbed quickly up the chest scales, turned and slid into the bespoke pouch, feeling the mind touch of the drake intensify and a soul-deep thrill course through him. He moved his feet into their bays and his arms into the receptor sleeves, keeping them close to his sides. He stretched out his gloved fingers. Martha's chest closed, and Max felt a gentle pressure across his body, and thick, shock-absorbent fluid filled the pouch, expelling any air within. A layer of skin moved to cover his scalp, and he placed his chin on the molded rest, feeling the pouch tighten minutely against his throat and comm controls. His visor, with heads-up display, slid down over his face. The drake shuddered, opened her mouth, and roared her pleasure. Or, as the tweakers who made her would have it, confirmed her state of readiness.
"You and me, baby," he said. "Let's walk."
Max curled his toes, and the drake rattled her rear talons on the bone floor. The rush of the receptors picking up and relaying his movements to Martha never lessened. He directed her to surge upright, move out of the pen and onto the runway. It was a gloomy day outside. The air was thick with dust, and the Heart of Granite had thrown up huge clouds in her wake. Max looked to his left, to where Grimaldi stood proffering a water bottle with a long straw. He took a sip.
"Don't fall."
"Not today, not ever,"
said Max, reciting the Drake pilot mantra.
"Look after my Risa."
"Always."
Max looked forwards. He moved his leg again, and Martha walked past the 23 waiting drakes and their pilots that made up Squadron Inferno X. Radio chatter filled his ears, and he laughed.
"HAL X on the stand, Flight Command," he said, "requesting permission to run."
"Stand by, HAL X."
A pause.
"Skin of your teeth, boy. Report to me on landing. You don't get off that easily."
Hoots and howls ricocheted over the open comm link.
"Copy, sir."
"Depart left, climb to circle above flak range. HAL X, you are clear to run."
"Tail up, Martha. Let's fly."
Max nodded his head. Martha opened her mouth and bellowed. She stamped her feet and powered down the runway, and Max's mind was filled with the promise of imminent freedom. Every footfall reverberated through the pouch, shock-absorbent fluid reducing the shuddering impacts to gentle ripples. Max opened his mouth and breathed in the acceleration. His arms were tight to his sides, keeping Martha's wings folded hard against her body while she gathered pace, rocking gently from side to side, tail balancing her lateral movement. Flight crews and ground jocks turned to watch. Strip lights flashed, red pulsing bulbs blurred, and alarms dopplered as he sped by. In front, the distance markings on the pitted runway began to merge. The retractor stays at the end of the sprint zone glared yellow. Max moved his arms away from his body exactly 30 centimeters. Martha snapped her wings out, and with a gasp from Max, they were airborne, shooting out of the flight deck and sweeping left. He turned his wrists out a fraction as he cleared the tail. Martha flared her wings and swept into a steep climb, high into the early morning skies of the mid-AF war zone. "This is Hal X, clear of the flight deck. The hog in my wake, and up wings skywards. Not a cloud up here, so it's going to be a hot one later. Who'd be a grunt in a dust cloud?"
"Copy, Hal X. Circle on station," said Muller. "And cut the chatter."
Martha climbed hard and fast, lazy sweeps of her wings driving her on. Their current airspeed and altitude were displayed above Max's right eye. He flattened his hands and canted his body slightly left. Martha cruised in a wide circle, levelling out and giving him a breathtaking view of the heart of granite.
"Look, Martha, there's your mum."
And damn him if Martha's body didn't ripple in response. Max wondered if it was laughter or love. Chapter 2. Who the hell comes up with ideas like growing battle lizards in big tanks anyway? Maximus Halloran. Max cruised the length of the hog, banked above her head, and returned aft, 400 meters above her. Martha was calm, her heartbeat measured and her wings barely beating, enjoying the thermals rising from the desert floor. Below them he could see Inferno X streaking out of the flight deck and climbing through the dust clouds to circle on station with him.
"IX, this is Hal X, moving to lead position."
Max urged Martha to greater speed, dipping her into a shallow dive to get below the squad, before sweeping up in a perfect barrel roll through the middle of their spiral. He climbed into the pristine sky and rolled to take in the vast desert and ruined lands in the hog's wake.
"Typically understated," muttered Valera.
Max opened his comm again.
"You wouldn't have it any other way, Skipper."
"The sad thing is, you really believe that," said Abraham, his gentle tone warming the airwaves.
"That role will save your life one day, Abe. You should learn it."
"You offering nightly tutorials in bed again, Max?"
said Jack X.
"Funny, Jax. I'll check with the boss, but I think those days are gone now."
"Flight coming," said Valera. "Go ahead, Flight Com."
"Inferno X, Flight Com Marshal General Solomon is 107 clicks due north of your location. Make best speed. You will be relieving Squadron Lumiere C from the Steelback. The cortege is groundbound. You know how active the MAFs and SAMBAs are right now, so this is not a procession. And it is not an excuse to show off your acrobatic skills. Are we clear, Inferno X?"
A chorus of understanding crammed the comms.
"Do you understand, Hal X?"
"I'm hurt, Flight Com. Do I have the cap?"
"Confirmed, Hal X. Flight Com out."
"Inferno X, Hal X, flying skipper for the inbound cortege escort mission. Yes, kids, I have the honor cap. Orders, orders. Triple height staggered chevron. Val X and Chevron 1 at 1,000, Step X and C3 at 1,500, Hal X and C2 at 2,000. Form up, IX. Let's show them what the best Drake squad in the world looks like."
Max rose to 2,000 and watched Inferno X form up. Valera and C1 peeled off left, diving in a long, shallow circle. C3 mirrored the move, climbing right and up. Both chevrons moved into perfect position simultaneously. It was simple and beautiful. Not a wing beat was wasted. White scales glittered in the bright sun, drake roars and calls filled the sky, and Martha returned the cry. His private comm clicked open.
Good work, Halex. Keep it tight. I'm here if you need me.
Copy, Skipper.
Max relaxed into the flight, feeling the rush of air as Martha powered forwards, and the vibrations of her wingbeats massaging his body through the modulations in the pouch. Martha's mind touch was like a comfort blanket, reading and reacting to his micro-movements. Using her senses meant opening his mind to her a fraction, and it was seductive. She was always there wanting more, tempting him with images of freedom and power. One day she'd get what she wanted, and he'd fall. Martha grumbled, sensing his briefly somber mood. Max used Martha's eyes to glance left and right at his 8-strong chevron, using his mind to suggest the movement, and seeing what she saw projected in his visor. He remembered the first time he'd done that, back in the training days. He'd been so confused by what he was seeing that he'd all but flown the poor drake into the ground. Now it was easy, filtering Martha's view and adding his own to give him all-round vision.
Inferno X, Hal X, we're in the cruise. Maintain formation and course. You all look beautiful.
Oh, shucks, Max, said Borini. Makes me go all gooey inside.
Shucks, Borex? Really? Holy mother, where did you dredge that up?
Asked Jess X.
I have depths of linguistic skill others only dream about, Jesse, said Borini.
Keep it well hidden, don't you? Said New Jax.
All right, said Max. Let's focus.
Max relaxed further, letting Martha ride the thermals and keeping her dead on north. The next battlefront, where the behemoths of United Europa and Mid-Af would clash, was 150 clicks south, just a couple of days' standard march for a behemoth. More land to slash, burn, and then own, and turn into vast, fertile croplands, if you cared about that. Max supposed he did, but mostly he cared about the next fight, lighting up enemy drakes, toasting enemy grunts, and later, leading the celebrations at the victory party. Ahead it was all blown sand, dust, and scorched earth. But there was brightness on the northern horizon, water glittering under the sun. It was probably still dyed red from the blood washing off the Mediterranean beaches. That had been some battle. Max and Martha looked around. Inferno X was still alone in the sky. He had half expected them to be shadowed by now, most likely by forces from the Samba block. They had the impressive Aguila and Relampago squadrons, but there was no evidence of them so far.
Inferno X is approaching the target zone, said Max. Orders, orders. C3, 360 Skywatch for enemy specs. C2, we're on friendly Drake watch. C1, eyes open for vortices in the dust. Hal X, out.
Max was enjoying the minimal stresses on the pouch, just the gentle push from the wings. This was as close to weightless as a Drake pilot could get. Martha cruised above the sand and dust, and the moment's relative quiet was wonderful. Then his earpiece, set into the hood of his suit, crackled.
Vortices ahead, bearing 355. Said Valera. Big enough to be our target. Anything from Flightcom, Halex?
Max couldn't see anything in the dust from his height, but on the horizon he could just see three black dots. The Lumiere Seas. They were flying a wide holding pattern, definitely a guard formation.
Nothing yet, Skipper. I've got spots ahead.
Max opened his squadcom.
Inferno X, we have vortices ahead at 355 and closing, specs in guard formation above them. Val X, stay in formation and descend into the cloud. Confirm target by sight. Hal X out.
Copy, Hal X, said Valera. Leading descent.
Max watched C1 disappear into the murk, following the vortices in the cloud formed by sprinting ground lizards, and the more confused eddies associated with the lumbering pace of larger, multi-legged constructs.
Step X, maintain course. Eyes open for incoming targets.
Copy, Hal X, said Stepanek.
C2, follow my lead and keep the chevron tight.
We're going to relieve Lumiere C the way only IX can.
Max angled Martha into a climb to get himself and C3 200 meters above the Lumieres. Martha's senses confirmed his chevron were in perfect form behind him. He cruised in a wider circle directly above the three dull brown Lumieres, who were flying a standard sentry formation, 100 meters above the sand cloud. No doubt they'd seen the incoming infernos and were off guard. They really should have known better.
C3, we're going straight through their formation. Pull a loop and settle in their wake. Easy stuff. On me. Let's go in three.
Max imagined noise, and Martha bellowed, her jaws dripping saliva, some of which blew back across his visor and was whipped away by the wind. Max leaned forwards, his arms tight, and straightened his body head to toe. Martha dived, her form arrow straight and her wings tight to her sides. Her speed was incredible, and the air screamed past, whistling through her furled wings and singing along her tail. Max trimmed his direction as he closed on the Lumiere Drakes, his smile broadening with every heartbeat. He'd calculated it perfectly, of course. Martha was on collision course with his target, and the Lumiere would be unable to evade him. Max laughed, pulse racing.
"You're coming in too close, Max," said Killarney. "Ease down."
"I've got this, Collex. You've all got clear air. That's what matters."
"It's going to cost you if you hit."
"I'm not hitting anyone."
With the Lumiere's scales large in his vision, Max twisted his body and Martha barrel-rolled past, missing the brown drake by a hair. Max and Martha roared with delight. C3 screamed through in his wake, and he led them into a tight loop that finished with them right on station.
"Oh, we are on rails today," purred Max.
He opened his comm.
"Lumiere C, you are officially relieved. Inferno X has the reins."
The comms lit up with furious shouts and threats.
"Hey, that's how the greatest squadron in the world flies. Lessons offered, space is still available."
The Lumiere Drakes peeled away, heading west towards the steelback. Max could still hear them muttering their threats, their drakes taut in the glide.
"Holy mother, Max," said Lasano. "I know. Perfect, weren't we? Orders, orders. Montex, Nugex, Red X, take sentry. The rest of you with me."
Max dived through the dust cloud, levelling out sharply at 50. Ahead he could see the Marshal Jens cortege, and it was properly impressive. A Komodo 1 surrounded by iguanas, geckos and basilisks. The chatter on the waves was still hot, and his earpiece crackled insistently. For the moment he ignored it, choosing to bring his chevron in close to the Komodo 1.
C3 is sky high on lookout, C2 on mid-century, C1 on close quarters patrol. Inferno X has arrived, said Max. "Skipper, I think we've introduced ourselves."
"You're an idiot, Max. I've got Muller in one ear and the Marshal Jen in the other, and neither is impressed."
Max sighed.
"Copy, Val X. My holy arse, but there's no sense of humour or style anymore, is there?"
"You do remember who we're guarding here. Val X out."
Martha's warmth filled his mind. At least she'd enjoyed it. Below Max, the cortege spread across 2 kilometres of Nor-Af Desert. It looked more like a relief force than a guard. Perhaps it was. Max stared at it, trying to work out where Marshal General Solomon would be riding. Right in the centre was the Komodo Class 1. It was about a quarter the size of a behemoth like the Heart of Granite, and was designed as a troop carrier, or as a stupidly slow and vulnerable mobile hospital. It was lumbering along on its 12 pairs of legs, leaving Max wondering why any patient in their right mind would take a bed there. Better to die in the sand than puke your last in that thing. The chances of the Marshal Jen being on it were minimal. It was escorted by 6 geckos, the standard ground assault lizard. It was probably full of her luggage or something. 4 iguana support carriers were travelling at the major compass points around the Komodo. They looked like miniature behemoths with their similar shape, an ability to carry 200 people in their spine and bone pods either side of the gut. The Marshal Jen was most likely in one of them, unless she was riding a basilisk. He had to suppress a chuckle at the thought. There were about 50 of the supremely fast runners, though, unlike their mythological namesake, they couldn't turn anything to stone. Max felt that was a genuine omission. Tweakers always missed out the really important stuff. Nope, it had to be an iguana. His money was on the one to the north. Max brought C2 into a low pass across the geckos, each of which was carrying around 30 elite fighters. Max shuddered, seeing the pilot's pouch. The poor slime suckers who drove them were face down in lubricant, breathing through tubes and with their eyes wired into the lizards via a sensory mask. They lay at the base of the neck, the pouch protected by thick, armoured scales.
Inferno X, Hal X, maintain your chevrons. C1, maintain proximity to the cortege. C3, remain sky high at 1,000. Give me a full clip diameter. I want early warnings of any incoming sambas and maths. C2, we're reforming on point above the dust cloud, sweeping east and west. We're the eyes. Nothing gets past us. Let's fly.
Max brought his chevron in a tight circle above the cortege, and then shot high and steep back through the cloud and into clear air.
Hal X, Flight Com.
Go ahead, Flight Com.
Patching the Marshal General through. Flight Com out.
Max had time to blow out his cheeks and feel his nerves echoed in the tremor that ran through Martha's body.
Hal X, this is Solomon.
Mom, it is an honor to fly your guard.
We are aware of your talents without the need for demonstrations. A word of warning. Arrogance in pilots is only tolerable because your lives are short and violent. Foolishness is absolutely unacceptable when it risks expensive equipment. Do anything like that again, and I'll ground you.
With respect, Marshal General, I was in total control of my Drake at all times.
There was an icy silence that shredded Max's good humour. He bit his lip harder with every passing moment.
You may be in control of your Drake. Do not assume everyone else is.
Understood, Mom.
Report to me when we reach the granite.
Yes, Mom. Before or after I see the flight commander?
Even you can work out the chain of command, Hal X. Solomon out.
It was a huge honour to have the cap, recognising his talent and standing in the kill tables, and he had a brief moment of worry he might have blown it with his stunt. He quashed it, though, because no matter what she'd said, Solomon was impressed, and you don't bench your best pilots.
Inferno X, this is Hal X. We have the honour. Maintain your altitudes and circle on station. The cortege is making best speed to the hog. Let's try to be patient.
Max heard some muttering.
Come again, Cole X?
Nothing, said Killarney. Pots, kettles, that sort of thing.
Stay focused, said Max.
It took every scrap of willpower Max possessed to take his own advice. The cortege was so slow, he wondered how the squadron stayed in the air. Fighting the twin enemies of boredom and stalling was no easy task. Max shrugged his shoulders, and Martha rippled her wings.
Sorry, Martha, didn't mean that one.
Martha's warmth suffused him, as if she understood, and they turned a lazy circle to bring the chevron back into position, his movements echoed by C1 and C3. Time and again they repeated the manoeuvre, while the ground lizards crept along beneath the cloud. Max took C2 on another sweep west, where the dust was even denser than over the cortege, caught in a trap of thermal activity. Martha's neck tautened, but Max had already seen what she was stretching towards. Away to the west, perhaps 3 clicks distant, there were vortices in the dust cloud. They were violent and spread over an area of some 400 meters, approaching at pace. Incoming Drakes.
Flight Com, Hal X, confirm position of Lumiere C.
Lumiere C is southeast of your position, Hal X.
Well, we've got vortices approaching fast from the west. Val X, do you copy?
Copy that. I have the cap, Hal X. C2, angle down and intercept. Let's see what we've got. C1, C3, maintain formation.
Copy, Val X, said Max. Chevron 2 on my tail. Eyes open.
Max tipped his body forwards, and Martha swept into a dive. Chapter 3. At its height in 2247, the global conflict consumed the combined resources of 7 power blocks on no less than 15 different battlefronts. Where the majority fought themselves to a total standstill or negotiated local land split deals, the fronts in the mountains of eastern UE and Mid-Af went on burning. Jeanette Karupu, Greed, Pride and Global Conflict. Vortices in the dust. An angry storm born of beating drake wings and the swift passage of sleek reptilian bodies. There were at least 30 drakes approaching, their signatures boiling together, creating a confusing mass of false images and trails in the dust.
Dense down there, said Schmidt X. Copy that, Schmiddy, said Max. Break in pairs. Let's drive them down into C1's flames. Close comms, shout your problems and don't fall. Let's take them out.
Max switched to personal comm.
You with me, buddy?
In your slipstream, Max,
replied Kalani, her tone as hard and cold as her drake.
I'll go high. Feel me in there. Vision's going to be awful.
I hear you.
They dropped into the dust cloud, and with it came their only moment of vulnerability. Martha's senses dulled while she adjusted to the atmosphere. Max concentrated on focus and calm, and Martha's wings didn't miss a beat as they ploughed deeper. Visibility was down to a handful of meters, with dust and sand rattling on Max's visor and hissing against Martha's scales. Max could barely see anything beyond a confusion of eddies and pools in the sunlit grey. Luckily, Martha wasn't reliant on her vision. She could smell her prey, too. Max felt her testing and sampling the air as they powered through the dust, searching for enemies. He saw her head twitch and steady just to the left, and Max turned with her.
"We've got a lock," he said.
"I'm with you," said Kalani.
The dust was lit up by a bright yellow flare below them to the left. Max could feel the warmth, and he heard the scream of an injured drake. He smiled. One enemy down. In the afterglare, smeared silhouettes of drakes were stamped on the dust like charcoal on paper, and gone the next instant. Max's mind link fed him data via Martha's keen senses, allowing him to assess each drake's attitude, trim, distance, and speed. Flare after flare shattered the gloom around them, their afterglows ricocheting across the dust cloud.
"One at 20 meters and closing hard on our 12, said Max.
"Copy," said Kalani.
Max let his mind drift fractionally further into Martha's. He felt her primal urge to hunt, and felt her strength of will, too, just tamed, just under control. The enemy drake was 50 meters away now. Through Martha he could sense its shape. It was an Aguila. Good skills.
"Split!" ordered Max.
He drove for the enemy's neck and suggested fine fire. Martha blew twin beams of tight blue flame. The Aguila saw it coming and plunged downwards, where Kalani was waiting. Her drake, flying belly up, grabbed the Aguila in its huge hind claws, the great jaws biting down hard on the back of its neck, just below the skull. Its tail fouled an enemy wing, the sharp tip jabbing and tearing. The Aguila shrieked with pain, its pilot losing control, and the extra weight of Kalani dragging it down. Flame shot from its jaws, singeing dust and air in a spiral, as Kalani pulled it around and around while Max got into position.
"Now, Cull X!"
"Copy that."
Kalani powered her drake upwards, dragging the helpless Aguila with her. As soon as she achieved vertical, she let go, rolling away to the left, leaving Martha right in front of the Aguila. Her head was level with the pilot's pouch, and Max was so close, he could see his enemy's eyes widen. Max suggested wide-angle fire, and a wash of deep orange flame enveloped the pilot's head, the pouch, and the base of the Aguila's neck. The enemy Drake dropped screeching from the sky, fire raging in its chest cavity. Max swept past Kalani, who was already hunting for a new target. Flare after flare, blue and yellow and red, added to the confusion in the dust cloud.
"All chevrons check in," said Max. "C2, report kills. C1, confirm cortege still secure. C3, you are free to engage below the cloud."
While the messages and confirmations came in, Max scoured the dust cloud ahead, seeking modulations within it, anything to give him an edge. He ducked forwards reflexively, making a half-turn left, and felt the beat of wings as an Aguila swept overhead. Kalani was turning hard right and up, settling into its wake.
"I'll go low," said Max.
"I'm closing fast. I have the scent."
Max turned hard, and Martha heaved into the roll, the shock-absorbing pouch undulating with the forces exerted on it and the wind whistling about her wings. Max brought her head up and rolled his shoulders, levelling them out and accelerating hard.
"Colex, I'm behind and below you at 100 and closing."
"Copy, Halex. Enemy level. Strike that. He's diving hard. And he's got company."
"Stay on his tail," said Max.
He switched to the C2 comm.
"C2, Halex, get below the dust and form up if you're not already engaged. Aguila's ahead of us. Out."
Max tipped his body forwards and angled into a steep dive. Around him, he could sense his chevron coming into formation, Drake's following Martha's scent. Kalani was next to him, blood on her Drake's claws. They burst into clear air beneath the dust cloud together, 75 meters above the ground in a sky full of Drakes. The Aguila split to his left, fleeing towards their comrades, engaged with Inferno X Drakes half a click away.
"C2, go open comm."
Max's ears filled with Valera's calm command.
"Clear above the cortege. Can X, Zav X, keep them moving west. New contacts south and east. C3, move to engage. Hal X, C2, good of you to join us. I see 5 hulks burning in the sand. Good work. How was it in there?"
"Foggy, Skipper."
Max looked at the tableau laid out for him as Inferno X levelled out and headed after the Aguilas, keeping close form and holding their distance at about 80 metres. Chevron 3 was ahead, taking the mass of the Aguilas, probably another 18 of them, head-on and flying rings round them. The cortege was plodding on, Chevron 1 still holding station above them. A few of the basilisks were on sprint patrol on the flanks guarding against new assault, and the turrets on the iguanas were tracking but not firing. They wouldn't need to. Inferno X was in town. Below him, he could see 9 downed Aguilas in total, many of them on fire, others still twitching through their death throes. Ahead, 4 of the Aguilas peeled away, heading off easterly at a sprint.
"I've got runners," said Max. "A quad heading east, possibly lining up a ground run. Orders, Valex?"
"You know what to do, Halex. Take what you need."
Max followed them, signalling Kalani to match him.
"Copy, Valex."
Max increased speed.
"Los X, Schmidt X, Nugex, Montex, on me for decoy on possible ground runs."
"Copy, Halex," came the chorus.
"They're turning," said Kalani.
"Be ready," said Max. "Up we go, Kalex."
"Right with you, boss."
Max and Kalani shot into the dust cloud, banking and turning immediately. It was all educated guesswork now. Course, speed, height. Max didn't want to leave the cloud cover too soon. He pushed Martha hard, hearing the sweep of her wings and feeling a rush of pleasure. He angled down very slightly, moving to the base of the dust cloud.
"Now, Max,"
said Kalani, feathering her drake alongside Martha.
"They'll be on the cortege in less than 30 seconds.
Max looked across at her.
"Take a breath, Carl X."
"Smug bastard."
"With good reason. Dive!"
Max steeped his body forwards and drew his arms tight to his sides. Martha stretched her neck and tail, switched her wings back and screamed out of the cloud.
"Woo-hoo!"
Right below them, the quartet of Aguilas flashed across the ground, sending up walls of sand in their wake. and buzzing them in front and behind, the four Inferno X drakes twisted and turned. Fire splashed across the backs of the enemy, reflected by armoured scales. The distracted Agilas snapped at empty space, while their pilots fought to keep their beasts on target.
Perfect, said Max. C2, Kullex and I will take the central pair. Kullex, break right after impact, and take out the flanker.
Copy that, Halex.
Max and Kalani dropped out of the sky towards the fast-moving Agilas, their descent just shy of vertical, and their targets never more than 10 meters from the ground, following the undulations and staying below the ground lizard's guns. The decoy drakes remained close, their proximity obscuring Max's approach.
C2 decoys, stand by to clear, said Max.
He was 50 meters from the ground in little more than a heartbeat, and his vision was full of the Agila below him.
Clear! Ordered Max.
The decoys split, and Max drove in, the margin for error vanishingly small. He flared his arms and jerked his legs straight, timing perfect. Martha's massive clawed feet slammed into the Agila's back, shrieking against its scales and smashing it down. Martha sprang back into the air, forcing the Agila lower still. Its wing drove into the sand, dug deep, and cartwheeled the drake into the ground. It roared as it ploughed into the sand, smashing its shoulder. It collided with a dune and was flung back into the air before falling again, snapping its neck and flipping end over end. Way too close for comfort, Max jerked left, avoiding the dead bounce by a hair, and climbing to see it sliver to a halt in a cloud of sand, twitching its last. Max drove Martha up after one of the surviving Agilas. The rest of C2 was closing in.
Report, Kullex.
My Agila's down, said Kalani. After my flanker now.
Missing you already, said Max.
Bollocks you are.
His target was tired, and Max moved into its wake as it climbed, obviously monitoring the two Inferno drakes closing on the flanks. It was Monteith and Nugent on the hunt.
Montex, Nugex, he's going to break for the dust cloud. Blocking formation.
Copy that, Halex, said Nugent.
Max urged Martha to beat her wings hard into the last of the climb, coming right up behind the enemy Agila as his chevron came in from the sides.
Stand by, said Max. Stand by. Drop out.
Monteith and Nugent peeled away, dropping down out of sight, as Martha opened her mouth and emitted twin streams of tight blue flame. They seared up the Agila's back, blackening scales, fusing ridges, and driving heat into the drake's flesh. It wasn't a killing strike, just enough to force the Agila to twist and dive away from the flames. Max watched it drop straight into Monteith and Nugent's path, and their fire engulfed its head, neck, and chest pouch as they flew past, one either side. The Agila fell from the sky, dead before it hit the ground.
Good shooting, said Max. Form up on me. C2, report. Schmidt X still flying. Slight damage. Agilas fleeing north. 15 down. Montex still flying. Beauty scorch on the belly.
Nugex running pure.
Red X is peak. Cal X boasting a minor wing tear. Still combat ready.
Los X running pure.
Cal X never better.
We rule, said Max. Valex, orders?
Get your chevron back up to 1,000. Let's get Solomon home without any more excitement. The cap is yours again.
Copy, Valex. C2 on me. Let's get some sun. C1, maintain close patrol over the cortege. C3, go on point at 300.
I need the sun, said Kalani.
There's nothing like it, buddy.
My blood is cold.
Max's heart missed a beat.
Say again, Kullex?
Say what again?
Kalani's voice was shaky, though. Max could hear her gasping. He switched to their private comm.
What can you see, Kalani?
There's dust and fire in my eyes.
Stay with me, buddy. Can you see me?
Yeah, of course I can, Max. What's up?
Nothing, Risa, nothing. Just do me a favour, okay?
Anything. Any time.
Keep comm silence to the end of the flight. Let's see if we can fly on feel, just for skills, eh?
I can feel my blood rushing inside me.
It's so cold.
I hear you. Let's fly close, side by side, like in training. Come silence, Kallax. Hang on, land soft, and stay in your drake till I come get you.
Copy, Kallax.
Kallax out.
Max bit his lip, hard, and Martha swam in the air, her neck snaking and her nostrils flaring as she sampled the distress of Kalani's drake.
I know, Martha. I know.
Her drake was flying level and true. No outward signs, so far. Max sighed and opened a channel to Valera.
Valex, Kallax, 1-1.
Go ahead, Kallax. Wondering what to say to Solomon when we get home?
Negative, Valex. We've got a code 00.
There was silence.
Skipper?
Copy that, Kallax.
Max heard her clear her throat.
Trust the squad, Max.
Chapter 4. Flying a drake is exactly like drug addiction. An overdose will kill you. Prolonged flying will make you sick. But no way in hell will you ever give it up, because the absence is more terrifying than the inevitability of an early death. Max Halloran. It was interminable. The Marshal Jen's cortege crawled across the sand and dirt to rendezvous with the granite. Max was wired, desperate for Kalani to get home safely. He was keeping his eyes on her drake while attempting to tune in to all the comm chatter, trying to work out whether anyone else had twigged something was wrong. If they had, they were keeping it to themselves. Valera's voice in his ear every now and again was nothing but gentle support, as it would be in Kalani's. And she was flying as beautifully as ever. Perhaps even better.
Talk to her, Max. Never mind her trim. You've stared at it long enough to know she's still in control. But she's alone in there. Don't let her disappear inside her fears.
Copy, Valex. And thank you.
You're welcome, Kallax. We've got the pair of you covered when you land. Trust the squad. Once IX, always IX.
Kallax, Kallax on 1-1. Hey.
He'd meant to go on, say something sharp and funny, but his mind turned up blank. Martha sensed it, and her body rippled with brief anxiety. She continued her slow circle high above the cortege in a beautiful clear sky. Beyond the heart of granite and the steelback, beyond the southern borders of the desert, the world was green and lush, and soon to be churned to mud and blood by the forces of UE and Mid-Af. How peaceful it was up here now, and how extraordinary the noise would be when battle was joined.
Yes, falling asleep on me, Max.
Very funny. I was just, you know.
What the hell could he say to her?
I may be going insane, but I am currently able to respond to coherent sentences. If you could say some.
Just tell me what you see, smartass.
There was a pause, and Max could all but hear her brain changing gear.
It's stopped burning.
What has?
Everything.
Okay, so how does it look now?
Whatever it was.
Cool.
Like me, then,
said Max, a little confused.
Your capacity for narcissism is forever undiminished.
That was more like it.
I meant...
We know what you meant.
We?
A hideous pause.
I said I.
So you did.
And you really think you're cool?
I hate to fly in the face of public opinion, said Max.
Did you hear that?
What?
It was the sound of me vomiting into my pouch.
Kalani made the sound again.
Messy.
You're on cleaning duty.
Max managed a chuckle at last.
I'd do it, if I didn't have to see Solomon and Muller immediately on landing.
Damn.
I wish it wasn't the case, really I do.
No, not that. I need to get home and wash the blood off. We're all drowning in blood.
Hang on, Kallax. We'll be home soon.
Her comm quietened, and Max swore, He heard the quiet bleep of another incoming voice.
"Good job," said Valera, her voice a little thick. "Hope you didn't mind me listening in."
"You're the boss."
Max felt like he'd lost the skirmish.
"We'll fix her," said Valera.
"For now."
"It's all any of us can hope for when our time comes."
The dust clouds surrounding the heart of granite had largely dissipated under strengthening winds at 1,000 and above. Max could see her flight deck fully lowered from her belly, bone ramps deployed, and her tail up in readiness for the embarkation of the cortege. The glare from the granite solar arrays forced the Inferno X-Drakes low on approach. The late afternoon sun was hot and strong, and the arrays would harvest enough energy to keep the generators going for another night. This close to a regeneration cycle, it was a mere fistful of sand in the desert, but anything that held off the tedium of a big swim was worth it. Down on the ground, the cortege was approaching the tail. The granite's ground forces were providing security on the approach to the ramps, allowing tired geckos and basilisks to tuck into the flanks of the larger lizards and reduce their pace to a gentle walk.
"Come on, Flightcom, don't keep us waiting," muttered Max.
He shuffled in his pouch, and Martha shook herself from head to tail tip.
"Almost home, Princess."
"Inferno X, this is Flightcom. Stand by."
"Just a few more minutes, Cull X," he said over the one-to-one.
"This is Heart of Granite, Flight Command. Good work, Inferno X. Even you, Hal X. I'm looking forward to our chat. So is the Marshal General, I understand."
Muller waited for the hoots and catcalls to die down.
"Skies are clear. The Hog has the watch. You will come in pairs, flying honor above the cortege. The cap's still with Halex. You're coming in first, boy. Don't let me down."
"Copy that, Flight Command. Inferno X, this is Halex. Form up on me."
The solar arrays slid back, the glare shutting off sharply like dark clouds across the sun. The 40-millimeter batteries wound into place, 25 of them along the spine of the behemoth, ready to fill the sky with fire. Along her flanks were more than 100 machine guns, and set down in the section cartilage, the frag bomb and fuel-air explosive missile launchers would be active as well, just in case. It was showing off for Solomon, really, but you could never trust a MAF commander, and daft suicide attacks weren't as rare as they ought to be.
"You're all right, Inferno X," rumbled Muller. "Come on in."
"Inferno X, Hal X, two by two, let's form on the loop. Always leave them gasping for more. Hal X out."
Max dipped his right arm and Martha peeled away, Kalani in impeccable formation. He leveled out Martha's flight before arching his back to send them sweeping up into the sky. Martha screeched delight, beating her wings hard and powering into the loop.
"On your three," said Kalani.
Max glanced across, but not for confirmation, more like he wanted a memory. The pouch's fluid was working overtime in the steepening climb, the G-forces breathtaking. At the apex of their climb was an ephemeral moment of weightlessness. Max laughed, staring up at the sky. He twitched his body to make Martha perform a perfect barrel roll, and he could see Inferno X following his move, their synchronized rolls beautiful as they formed the loop in his wake, their positioning spot on.
"Inferno X, Hal X, you look stunning. We are so far and away the best squad, and even Solomon has seen it now."
Martha screamed into the down arc, her wings trimmed for speed and balance, her body ramrod straight, in textbook position, with Kalani just a meter away. It was an incredible rush, the noise a glorious howl and whistle, the ground closing fast, but they were always in absolute millimeter precision control. That was skill, and Max just hoped Solomon was watching. Max bent his head back a fraction, and Martha began to level out. Ahead of them, the Heart of Granite's flight deck entrance was picked out in running lights beneath her slightly trembling curved-up tail.
"Now that is timing!"
The cortege was approaching the ramp as Max and Kalani scorched over their heads and into the harsh light of the flight deck. Halfway in, they flared their Drake's wings in a brutal braking manoeuvre. Max stretched his legs, and they landed, Claws on the bone floor, surging forwards into a dead run, the wind whipping dust and scraps up in a whirl around them. Martha's feet pounded on the deck, wings beating back to slow her to a steady walk. At a nudge from Max, she moved upright and walked serenely to the bay outside her pen. Max checked for Kalani, also walking steadily, unhurried and calm. Gusts of wind and the reverberations through his feet told Max that Inferno X was